Welcome to Telfan teleconferencing. Please enter your telephone. Your conference code has been accepted. You may experience either silence or music until your conference begins. During the conference, you may speak privately with an operator by pressing star zero.
A little bit about this weekend and your half marathon debut.
Yeah, you know, it was something that was proposed to me to go run there after Osaka, and my coach and I talked about it, and he said, you know what, I think you should do it. You know, you're really strong, and it sounds like fun. You have no expectation. And so I was like, okay. So we went out there, and I actually came back to Portland for 7 days after I ran in Berlin, and I did a long run, and then I did a 9-mile tempo, and that was really good because I got some good feedback. And so then heading into the race, we thought I could handle 5:10s if I was feeling good, and so I just kind of, that's about what Paul and I were hitting at first, and so I just kind of kept running. I don't know.
Questions for Kara.
How long was that long run that you did back in Portland? Was that the 9-mile tempo you mentioned?
No, I came back on like a Monday, and I did a 15-mile run on Tuesday, and then like Thursday I did a 9-mile tempo run. So I just did like 2 long hard workouts, and then I just rested again until I raced.
Kara, what was previously the longest distance you had raced?
10K.
And how did you find the change in distance?
I felt really comfortable and really relaxed. I mean, I felt like we were running fast. Like, it wasn't easy by any means, but I felt really comfortable. Like, my body was handling it really well until about 2 miles to go, and then my lack of preparing for a half marathon started to kick in. The last 2 miles were pretty hard for me. The last kilometer was really, really hard.
So how much previous road racing have you done, in particular a race that's, you know, has like rabid spectators like this one did?
This is only my 3rd road race. I ran the Providence 5K in 2005, and I ran the Tough 10K last year in 2006, so this mm-hmm. is just my 3rd road race, and it was by far the most like exciting, just so many people everywhere, and people just so loud and cheering and great, although they did call me Paula the whole time. Not one person ever cheered for Kara. But it was totally awesome. I've never been a part of something like that before.
So, Kara, not to be provincial, this is Jay in Minnesota. Can you track for me and the others your path from Duluth to Colorado, whether you're ever back here in the state much at all?
Yeah, I started running in the 7th grade back in Minnesota, and you know, I was kind of in Kerry Tolleson's shadow, to be honest. I won quite a few state titles. I was 2nd more than I was 1st, and I never ran as fast as her. I was kind of in her shadow a little bit, and then I went to the University of Colorado and loved it there and stayed for 8 years, and then struggled a lot with injuries and stuff the last 3 years there, and then moved out to Portland 3 years ago. And I used to come home twice a year to Minnesota, but now I actually last year for the first time did not go home for Christmas. Adam and I decided to fly everyone here and not go train in the cold, and I think it was a really good decision. And now I have that to use against my family to get them back out here again this year. But I still go home once a year. Like I said, I'm going home tomorrow.
And are your parents are still there in Duluth, are they?
My mom and my grandparents and my older sister live there.
Now, I read somewhere that you started running in 7th grade to win some sort of prize in school, or what?
Yeah,
I wanted to win
this award. It was like called the AAA Award, and it was for arts, athletics, and academics. Mm-hmm. And I was in the band, so that counted as my art, and I was a little nerd, so I had a 4.0, and then I needed an athletic event because I was really into dancing, so that wasn't a part of anything at school. So the two choices were cross country or volleyball, and volleyball had cuts, and I went and looked in, and people were getting their arms bruised, and I was like, forget that, I'm not going to get cut. So I went out and joined cross country.
What instrument did you play in the band?
The French horn.
Are you still playing that at all or not?
I played at my senior high graduation. That's the last time I played.
Kara, it's been an unbelievable year for you, starting with the return to Boulder for the cross-country championships, and obviously U.S. championships, the world championships, and now this. You know, what sticks out, or you know, maybe what's the best of all of them, or is it all just a blur that you can't process it? I mean, how are you sort of emotionally dealing with all this, such a memorable year?
It's hard to pick, like, a favorite moment. Like, running in Boulder, I wish I would have won there. I really, really wanted to win there, but it was so awesome running there, and just, like, seeing so many people and the way people were cheering, it was just so great. And then U.S. Nationals, you know, I ran a very conservative race, but I made my first world team, and I was extremely emotional after that. And then Osaka was, like, just so amazing, and then this past weekend was great. So it's hard to pick, like, the very best moment of the year, but it's just been awesome, and it's just a lot of it hasn't sunk in because I've kind of been going, and now I'm just kind of sitting back and kind of starting to sink in a little bit. But it's been, like, a little bit overwhelming, but all in a good way.
Well, obviously, the main thing to most observers is the Brooke Medal in the 10,000, which is historic because it's, you know, the first one by an American woman in any of these kind of championships in 15 years. As you lined up that night, I mean, what were your real thoughts about your prospects of getting a medal in that race?
I had thought about it. My husband and I had talked about it, and my coach and I had talked about it. My husband and I had talked about it while we were in Osaka. You know, he was like, your workouts have been amazing. I've never seen you work so hard in all of my time that I've known you, and things are going really great, and don't limit yourself. You know, you could get a medal. And so it was kind of in the back of my mind, but I didn't want to go there and just have an unbelievable race and be 10th and be disappointed with that. But on the bus ride over to the meet, my coach said, look, you're in the best shape of your life, and on paper you're 9th, but I know that your PR is, you know, I know you can run faster than 31:17, so you're probably 5th or 6th, and if you put yourself in that position, you could get a medal. You know, other people mess up, they get tired, you know, whatever. And so I just was, that night, I was just really, really focused. I was, like, so focused on not letting the lead pack get away from me, and I wanted a medal, but it didn't really seem like, you know, I wasn't thinking about it consciously until the last lap, and then I was like, no, I'm going to get this.
I mean, there was so much attention paid to you. I mean, those of us, especially who troll the internet and see all the videos that are made of you all over the place. I mean, is this the kind of achievement that sort of instantly changes your running life? I mean, how you perceive yourself and obviously how, like, race directors and shoe companies and all that sort of perceive you?
Well, so far nothing's changed, to be honest. But, you know, for myself, like, we did this, Adam and I did this video thing, Keeping Up with the Gauchers, earlier this year, and, you know, the first thing I said on that was, I think people would be shocked at how big my goals are. And my goals have always been really, really big. Like, I've always really wanted to go to the Olympics or the World Championships and not just get there, and it's so hard to get there, and I had never gotten there before, but I've always really wanted to do something memorable, and so, like, I've always dreamed really, really big and had really, really big goals and high expectations for myself, but I still can't believe it happened. It's, like, something that I've wanted for so long and I've worked so hard for, but it still surprises me. And, like, this past weekend, I can't believe that I was running with Paul Radcliffe, and still is shocking. But, I mean, anyway, in my normal life so far, no, nothing has really changed.
Yeah. And what about just, you know, now that you're home and you're going to be in Minnesota for a while, I mean, are you, is this going to be a sort of a cooling off period for you, or do you know what your next plans are?
Yeah, no, I don't really. I'm not running for a while. Taking a break and just kind of letting my body rest up after this year. And I just want to go, and I just really want to be with my family. And because I've been running so well and having such success, it's been really hard not to see them. And so I'm just really looking forward to hanging out with them. And then we're going to go visit Adam's family as well. And I'm just really looking forward to being around my family.
Mm-hmm.
Kara, how long will you, or when will you return to Portland?
Well, we'll be back next week. Well, I'm going to Minnesota for a week, and then we'll be back here for a week. But then we're going to visit Adam's family for a week, and then we'll be back here for good. I guess it'll be the end of October, or middle of October, we'll be back for good.
Kara, this is Michelle from Runner's World. Can you tell us what was going through your head the last couple of kilometers of the half marathon, how you held pace and kept going?
Yeah, with 3 miles to go, I was thinking, I had no idea that Paula and I had I didn't realize there was such a big gap between us. So with 3 miles to go, I was starting to think, oh my gosh, I might beat Paula Radcliffe. This is crazy, you know? But then with 2 miles to go, it kind of started to set in of just how tired I was. And honestly, it was so loud down the home stretch. It was just this really long finish. It was almost 1,500 meters straightaway. And people were just so loud, and I was hurting so bad. And I honestly thought she was going to go flying by me at any moment. And so it wasn't until I was don't look back, don't look back. Don't let her know how bad you're hurting. And it wasn't until I crossed the line that I realized that I had sort of the gap there. I didn't even know. So I just kept saying, this is the last race of the year, you know, try to relax, keep your arms down, because when I get tense, my arms creep up and my neck goes back, and I was just thinking of Alberto's voice telling me to put my arms down, put my neck down, and I was just trying to, resist my body's urge to stop.
Is that that was sort of a point-to-point course, so sort of, I imagine that's a little different than the Providence or the Tufts races that you've done as well. I mean, you're seeing new terrain and some changes for the entire route, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was really funny. We took a bus ride back after the race, and Adam had jumped in the half marathon and ended up running great. But we're driving back on the bus route, which was apparently the race course, and he was like, oh, remember when we went by there? I mean, I didn't see a thing. I stared at Paula for the first 5 miles, and I stared, and then I moved kind of alongside her, and I just stared at the lead car the rest of the way, and I was looking at the minutes thinking, I feel pretty good. I probably only have about 25 minutes left, but, I mean, I was completely unaware of anything. I was doing an interview afterwards, and I realized that we were on the ocean, and it was absolutely gorgeous, and we're, on the beach. I didn't even realize it. I was so focused.
If you have background noise, such as perhaps a subway car, free to use *1 to mute your line, please.
Hey, Kara. I'm a little bit curious just about sort of logistically what your training situation is in Portland. I mean, do you live in Portland or a suburb? Where do you do your track workouts? Where do you do your long runs? Kind of paint me a picture of, what your training landscape looks like, please.
I live in Portland. I live between downtown and Beaverton, so 10 minutes to Nike and 10 minutes down to have a... Can you guys hear me?
Hold on just a second. Whoever is in the subway, please mute your line. I'm not making it up. Okay, Kara, sorry about that. You said you live in Portland between downtown and Beaverton. I think it's the last thing we heard.
Okay. So I train all my track sessions at, pretty much all my track sessions at the Nike track in Beaverton. I do some track sessions at a place called Dunaway in downtown Portland, where I do a hill and then go back to the track and go between the hill and the track. I do my long runs either from Nike around the trails around there or down at Leif Erickson or Wildwood in Portland. I do a lot of my second runs from my house. I do all my lifting and drills and things like that over at Nike on the campus.
I mean, is that Disneyland for distance runners? I mean, is it it sounds like it's an amazing place to have at your disposal. That's the whole
It is amazing, and Adam and I constantly remind ourselves how lucky we are to be able to work out there. It's beautiful. There's a wood chip 2 mile trail around the entire campus. There's a beautiful track there. There's a grass field that's perfectly manicured, which is 500 meters around. We do lots of workouts on the grass field. It keeps me healthy. Has an amazing weight facility, and has lots of rooms and mats for stretching and doing drills and exercises, and it's really a beautiful place, and it's really, I mean, we're so lucky to have access to it.
Kara, this is Charlie Butler from Runner's World. I was wondering if you could say, did you talk to Paul afterwards, and did you guys discuss the race at all, and anything come out of any conversations you had with her?
Yeah, I had never met Paul before that meet, and the night before the race, she and her husband and her parents and her baby sat down at the table where we were, and I was, like, dying. I was so geeked out that she was sitting there. I was, like, so excited that I was, like, dead quiet. I was getting shy because I was so excited. But she was just so nice to us, and after the race, we didn't really talk about the race so much. I mean, she told me good job, but we didn't talk about it that much, but we just kind of talked about, she was telling me about the Berlin Marathon and how fast it is, and just other things, but it was so awesome to meet her. Like, she's just so amazing, and she's done so many things, and she's just shown that anything is possible through hard work and dedication, and so just to meet her was amazing, and then to be able to run with her was amazing, and it was really, really great to meet her.
Was it awkward at all, beating her?
You know, it was weird because my coach was like, I think you can beat her, and I was like, you're crazy, and my husband is always like that. He's always crazy. He was like, just don't let her break you, you know, but in my mind, I didn't have any idea what to expect, so it was just crazy. I mean, she's Paula Radcliffe. It was crazy to beat her, but it wasn't awkward because she didn't make it that way at all.
You mentioned the Berlin Marathon, Kara. Does this half marathon make you more or less inclined to maybe try the marathon at some point in the future?
Well, I have to say that the half marathon was really hard, so the thought of going twice as far is like, no thanks right now. But if I really think about it, and if I actually was trained, you know, the past month and a half, I've been basically tapering since Osaka. I did one hard week of training the week right after Osaka, but then I was kind of tapering because I wanted to PR at 3K and 5K. And so there's definitely a part of me that's, like, intrigued now. And if I actually had the mileage put in and the time put in, like, I feel like I can run faster than the half marathon. I feel like if I had a little bit better base over the last few weeks, I think I could have handled those last 2 miles better. And then that just makes me excited about what I could do in a marathon, absolutely, but I'm still definitely not ready to do it.
Kara, I think, as I recall, that you and Adam did not go over to Japan as early as a lot of people. Is that right? I mean, what was your – can you talk a little bit about your – strategy for getting ready to deal with those conditions over there, which I think to some extent, you know, you're also going to have to approximate in Beijing.
Yeah, well, we went to Osaka 10 days before my race, but what we decided not to do is go to Europe for the first part of the season. Usually we do two European trips. We do the first part of the season, we come home for a few weeks, and then we go back for the second part. And this year we did not go over for the first part, and that was because we thought that it would be too hard to carry a peak, to run the kind of, to be as sharp as you need to be in those races. We felt like it would be, we wouldn't be able to hold that peak and then still run it well in Osaka. So it was hard, but we decided to train instead, and we went up to Park City for 3 weeks, and we just trained really hard. And every day we'd check the computer and see the results, and we'd be like, oh, we just won a race. But in the end, obviously, it was a great decision because at Osaka, I felt fresh and really great. And even after Osaka, where everyone else kind of felt burnt out, I still felt really fresh and good. And that's why we decided to do that.
And you were wearing some kind of, like, so-called sauna suits, right?
Yeah.
Was that at the Park City, or was that in Oregon?
That was, well, it was in Park City, yeah. It was hot in Park City, but it wasn't humid, and so we wore the sauna suit, which is just like this cheap little garbage bag suit, basically, that Alberto picked up somewhere.
Right.
And it just basically made you sweat and be uncomfortable. And we don't wear it all the time, but we wore it for our second runs, and Doug saw us wear that, actually. It was really gross. It would just make you sweat so bad and just made you uncomfortable, and that's how it was in Osaka. I mean, it was just so uncomfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
Kara, why has this year been your breakthrough year?
I think, you know, last year was a really really big breakthrough year for me. It was the first time I had been healthy for more than 3 or 4 months in a long time. I was healthy from, I guess, from basically March on. And so last year was the first time I've run really fast. And I haven't had an injury since then. So I've been healthy now for a year and a half, which is the longest since I've ever started running. I mean, even in the seventh grade, this is the longest I've ever been healthy. I've been able to train consistently. And because I'm healthy and because my workouts have been consistent, psychologically, I've been able to really start to believe again and start to think big. And so I think it's a big combination of being healthy, being able to do the work because I am healthy, and then because I've done the work, I have confidence, and because I have confidence, I start to think the way I need to think to be really good.
Kara, what was it like battling that persistent and consistent, you know, flow of injuries that you did go through before last year?
It was awful, you know, and honestly, if it wasn't for my family and Adam, I might have quit. I always have had really big goals, and I love running. Like, I'm crazy about running. I'm so passionate about it, and I love it as a sport, and I love the way I feel when I'm running. But there were times where it just made me sad, and it made me almost feel bad that my body wouldn't let me do it. But my husband is, like, so supportive and just would always say, it's going to get better, and my family was the same way. And so it was really frustrating, but I had a really great support team that just kept me going through it.
Any other questions?
Kara, how big of an influence was Alberto and starting to train with him, you know, in terms of building that confidence and, you know, getting you to where you are right now?
Well, I mean, I could never, like, even express how much Alberto has helped me just be a happier person in general, let alone with my running. Alberto didn't give up on me, you know. He was like, you have to be able to get healthy. Like, your body is a miraculous thing, you know. It has to heal, and he believed in me, and I never had to earn his approval. Like, I moved here, and I developed compartment syndrome again when I first moved here, and I never had to, like, earn his respect. He just believed in me and coached me, and, you know, he didn't baby me, like, oh, you're injury prone, you can't do this, you can't do that. He asked a lot out of me, and he just made me work hard and believe, and he's so positive, and he just opened my eyes to what was possible. And I don't know, I could never thank him enough, and he is absolutely, you know, the heart of the turnaround for me.
Do you see yourself as being maybe an unlikely trailblazer as far as women's distance running in America? And is that something that you're comfortable with?
I mean, I guess I just don't even see myself that way. When I think of trailblazer, I think of, I don't know, Dina or even Shalane lately running so fast on her own on U.S. soil. I don't know. If I can inspire someone, that's great. I love running for the U.S. Like, this has been just so exciting for me, and I love it. And, I mean, I just hope I can keep getting better. I don't feel like I've reached the end of my potential, and so I just hope I can. There's still more that I want to do, and this year is so amazing. It was so awesome. And if I never run any faster, you know, this was – it's been an awesome experience, but I feel like I can run faster. I feel like I can run smarter races, and I feel like I can do more.
Any other questions? Well, Kara, congratulations again. I know we've all really enjoyed watching you run this season, and can't wait to see what you're doing next year.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kara.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Kara. Kara, are you still there?
What's up?
Kara, it's John Meyer. Are you still there?
Me?
Kara.
Kara. No, she is not.
All right. Thank you.